Hello everyone, hope you're all well on this fine day. So, as you may have noticed from the title of this episode, we're doing something a little different this week. Some of you may or may not know, I work with Veer VR, and some of that work includes hosting events in AltSpace, which involves me interviewing creators. Now, the interview I'll be playing shortly was taken from one of these events, where I was fortunate enough to get to chat to Randall Kleiser, whose VR series Defrost was released on Veer that particular week. Now, if you're wondering, who's Randall Kleiser? Well, he actually directed a ton of movies that I'm sure you've probably seen at some point in your life, and I assume numerous times. So, he directed movies like The Blue Lagoon, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, Flight of the Navigator, most notably, Grease. As you can imagine, getting to chat with this guy about making his VR project was a huge privilege. And, oh, who am I kidding? Just being in a virtual room with the guy was a privilege. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the interview.
Just in case you guys don't know, we're here to celebrate the launch of the virtual series Defrost that's opened on Veer on Thursday. This is the director of said series, Randall Kleiser. I'm not gonna lie, I'm geeking out a little bit because the man is kind of a big deal. He directed a lot of films that were a massive part of my childhood. Grease, one of them, Flight of the Navigator, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. The list goes on. It's insane. So, yeah, so absolutely incredibly grateful that he's taken the time to be here tonight and to chat with us. So, yeah, so we're just going to follow up with I'm going to be asking Randall some questions, and then later on we'll open up to you guys. So, Randall, I think the first question I have really is, like, how did you find the jump from traditional filmmaking to VR filmmaking?
Well, like I said in this video, I feel like I'm back in film school because there's no rules and we're trying new things. I was thrilled with the idea of being able to work with the actors who had never done this either. None of us had. And we were all learning together how you deal with the 360-degree space.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about that, if any of the actors had done it before and stuff. Were any of them apprehensive about, you know, giving it a go? Or?
No, they were all excited because it's something new and nobody had done it. And they had all done plays, so they knew how to act in a long, five-minute segment. You know, like a plays can be a half hour or an hour or more. But usually in movies, it's like you do it for a short bit burst.
Yeah. So awesome. Right, okay. So no one needed particular persuading or anything to get on board, and everyone was just like super excited about, you know, just jumping into something new and jumping into the unknown, let's go, in a way.
And we were all figuring it out ourselves as we went, because the technology was a little primitive when we shot this, and trying to get everyone to figure out that they had to be on all the time, even if the other actors were talking and they were far away, they had to know that they were still being photographed, and that was hard, because if they were on the other side of the room, they sort of thought they could slouch, and I said, no, we see you.
So was there any, like, VR films or anything that you watched to, you know, kind of get some ideas and stuff of how to do things and how to approach it?
No, the only thing I had seen before I did this was the an Oculus Rift thing where you go to a Tuscany villa and walk around in 3D. And by using the little jumpers, you could move around the place like you can do in this space here. And when I saw that, I thought this would be a great idea to try to integrate actors into it in a story. So I had not seen any. I hadn't seen anything that was dramatic. And there's only been a few things I've seen. I think there's a show called Invisible that I saw. Anybody see Invisible?
Yeah.
That series Invisible. Yeah. And there was one called, yeah. Oh, there's somebody over there. Yeah. And also, I saw Gone, that one. Those are the only two. But we had shot before I saw any of those.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you did kind of sort of go in blind, as it were.
Mm-hmm. That's yes. right. And we also, we had no way of knowing how to shoot with the camera. We didn't know how close the actors could get to the camera. So we just improvised. And they said, don't get any closer than 5 feet. But we got like 2 feet and it still worked. Somebody's over there has a question, I think. Is that over there?
That's
someone has a question, I thought.
That's okay. Now we'll save the questions till the end.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, just keep hold of them. We'll have plenty of time.
Okay.
So, what would you say were like the biggest differences and like the biggest challenges between like working on this and working in like a traditional film?
Well, you had to in working in this type of 360 stereo VR. You had to think of when you're doing takes, you got to know which one is the best one because you can't cut them. You can't have like part of one take and part of another. So you have, while they're filming, you have to remember who flubbed a line or who didn't hit a mark and know, is that worth giving up for the good performance in the next take? So that was one of the hardest things is to remember each take, which was the best one, because we couldn't play them back. I had to just remember them. They were all on. We just couldn't do playback at the time, so I had to think: was it take two or take five that was the best one? That was hard.
Awesome. So, did like all of the actors that were involved? Did you know them beforehand before you worked on this, or did you just like draw up a little short list and reach out to everyone? Because there's some big names in there.
Well, Carl Weathers, I directed him in Starsky and Hutch in the 70s. And Bruce Davison, I worked on my master's thesis at USC, and he was in a movie I did called The Gathering, and he was in It's My Party. So I worked with him many times. Chris Atkins, I worked with on The Blue Lagoon. And Tana Frederick was someone new that I hadn't worked with. Harry Hamlin, I had not worked with, but I knew him. And the little boy who plays the android is my next door neighbor. So I cast him.
Oh, really?
That's
great. He's really good. He's really good at it.
He happens to be an actor, and I said, well, he was right for the part, so I said, do you want to try out? And he said, yes, and so he got the part. He's the only person I saw for that part. And it turned out to be good, yeah.
He was fantastic in it. Well, that's crazy that he's your next door neighbor.
I've written 12 more episodes, and I knew that he was going to get older, so I wrote into the script that he traded his body in, his robot body, for an older version so he would be taken seriously. And that way, if we shoot season two, it'll make sense that he's gotten older.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So where did the idea for this come about? Like, had this been, in the pipeline for a while, or...?
I wrote this as a
feature. Came up with for VR.
No, I wrote this as a feature film back when I went to film school around 1968. I wrote Frost. It was when cryogenics had just started, and I got the idea then, and I just had the script lying around, and I decided to when I saw the Oculus Rift, I decided to adapt the script to this medium.
Oh, wow. So you've had plenty of years to kind of work on it then, and to kind of
I had it in like a trunk. I didn't really work on it until I saw the Oculus Rift, and then I thought, wow, this would work really, really good, because when you're in the goggles, you can't speak and you cannot get up and walk around. So it was a perfect story for this project.
Yeah, definitely. So have you got any more like VR projects that you're sort of planning for in the future?
Yeah, so I've I'm working on one right now. It's called Grease MR. It's a mixed reality project. We took the song "You're the One That I Want," and we had 20 dancers dance in a volumetric capture space at Manhattan Beach Studios, the Intel Studios, and we shot that song. And now we're making it so that when you have an iPad, you can aim it towards a space, and they'll pop up and dance and get in the car and fly around. So that's coming out next.
That sounds amazing. That is awesome. I look forward to that.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, going from, I wanted to try new things, and after doing 360 stereo, this was the next step, is volumetric capture and AR.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Especially AR. AR's huge right now. So it's only worth getting involved in, that's for sure.
Right.
That's awesome. Nice. So would you, like, what advice would you give to, like, any traditional filmmakers that are looking to get into VR?
If people are looking to get into it, there's these very cheap cameras. You know the ones I'm talking about that look like almost like a, they're like about this big, and they are, you just hold them up. I think somebody over there knows about it. I forget the name. He wants to tell the
Mark
name of
I.
it. Oh, I Go don't Mark. Know it. I'm
oh.
sorry.
Yeah, Diana. Oh. Oh, Mark.
All right.
We were so excited.
I'm sorry. Anyhow, yeah, what I would suggest is just getting one of those cameras, because they're very inexpensive, and they work really well. You don't have to worry about stitching. Just try things. That's what I would suggest.
Yeah,
because I think students are going to end up developing the new language of VR because they have time and they don't have to make money.
No, absolutely, absolutely. What camera did you actually? I think I saw it in the thing. You guys shot on the Nokia Ozo.
The first episode was shot with. Yes, the first episode was shot on two GoPros strapped together with wide lenses, and then the rest of the episodes were in 3D, shot on the Nokia's Ozo. And it was the prototype.
How was the workflow with that?
How was the what?
The workflow.
What'd you say?
With the Ozo.
Oh,
how was
it didn't
the
work very well
with that.
It didn't work very well because it was the prototype. And there were a lot of kinks that had to be worked out. And we shot with the prototype for 11 episodes. And then we finally shot with the completed camera on the 12th episode. But that worked much better. But they have since disbanded that camera, and they no longer make it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm getting started now in the 360 space. And I have a very basic... I guess consumer level 360 camera, and it's just the two back-to-back lenses. I'm wondering how important you think it is for an amateur filmmaker to get into the 3D aspect, you know, with the multiple lenses, so that you have that 3D aspect within VR, or is it worth it to just go ahead with a normal camera or a cheaper camera for now, just to experiment, I guess, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Sorry, guys. All right. Let me get back over here and answer that question. I'm new to this. Okay. I think it's not important at all to do 3D. I think it's much more important to try to stage in 360 and use that camera the one that you just mentioned is the one I was talking about. So yes, I would not bother with 3D. You don't need that. It's there's enough to worry about just to figure out how to do 360.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank
you.
I totally agree. Awesome. All right, on the list. Manny, you have a question, apparently.
Oh, yeah. He pushed the wrong button, too.
Right? Oh, okay.
I think
no, it's
over here. Yeah. There's one over there. Two people want to have other hands up over there. Oh.
Okay. Oh, go for it, Mark.
Is the method... that you use called, is it called stereoscopic Yes. I don't know if I've pronounced. And you said something about using GoPros. You can do this with GoPros?
Well, the first episode was with two GoPros, yes, and there was no stereo. It was not stereoscopic. It was flat, or not flat, but it was not. It was 2D, but 360. The rest of them were all in 360.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And you can do it with two GoPros, or the camera that this gentleman here was talking about. That's even easier because there's no stitching needed.
I hope that sometime we're able to purchase this.
Well, yeah, you can buy it right now.
I was not aware of that. Okay.
I started with the GoPro 360, and that's the cheapest one right now. But the one that I just got is the Insta 360 One X, and that's about $450. But it comes with the desktop editor, the mobile editor. You can use Veer for extra effects. And it's got a pretty decent in-camera microphone. I'm still experimenting with it, but I'm loving it so far. So that's
it's a really good camera.
Consumer level 360 camera, yeah.
Yeah, I think experimenting.
Fuzzy, you have a question.
I do, yes.
There he is.
I grew up watching your movies, so I'm a huge fan. So thank you for that.
Sure.
I just wanted to know where is this going to be available at, the series?
It's available
on Veer. So this will be available on Veer.
On Veer?
Yeah, so if you download, what headset are you on?
I'm on the Oculus Rift.
Perfect.
Okay. So if you download the Veer app, and then you'll be able to find it in there in the premium content section.
Excellent. Thank you.
And there's like 12 episodes of sci-fi goodness.
Nice. Yeah.
Before.
It's one of the few. We did a lot of research, and this is the first one that we found that is set up to do this, to actually allow people to download and buy this thing, which we self-finance, so we can't give it away for free. You know, it's just too expensive. So we need all your help. We need your help. Yeah.
It's based on a true story, isn't it?
Well, not really.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Any other questions? Wave your hands in the air. Like, you just don't care.
Over there, the guy over at the top to your left.
Aaron?
Oh.
Oh. Aaron, do you have a question?
Actually, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. I'm sorry. Can you just repeat where we can get it again? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, so it's nice. If you download the Veer app, VEER, and then you'll be able to find it in the premium content section on there.
Copy. Thank you.
And awesome. if you want to see more stuff about Defrost, you can go to defrostvr.com and see more clips about the making of it.
Great.
Which I would highly recommend.
Over there, there's somebody.
Lisa Marie. You're up. You may need to unmute your mic. Hello. Hang on a minute. Oh, there. No. Yeah, you're muted.
It's the top button.
Okay.
Okay.
There we go.
Sorry.
There she is.
Hi.
That's all right.
Hey. I'm an English and journalism major.
Uh-huh.
Cool. And I just want to know, did you write a lot of books and stuff before you wrote movies?
No, I just made 8mm films when I was a kid. And then I went to USC Film School and made 16mm films. And then I started directing TV and made 35mm films, and now I'm in VR doing 360 films.
Sweet.
So I've been working my way up.
I have a lot of those in my past too, but I write, and I just kind of wondered, you know, if you wrote any stories down before you put them on film.
Yes. Yes. I have many, many stories that I wrote, and then the good ones I made into films.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Anyone else with any questions? Oh, Jason J, welcome back. How you doing, bud?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good. I'm not too bad. Have you got a question for Randall?
I was kind of curious. I know you talked about the camera setup, but once again, Mr. Randall doesn't happen to know what model that camera was that he used?
Well, it's not made anymore. It was called the Ozo, but they don't make it anymore. Is that what you mean, the one that we shot the whole series with?
Yeah, thank you.
There's some really good ones out. I think my associate Manny is somewhere here. He knows all about that. Or maybe you do too, Daniel. Do you know the best camera to use now?
I can only speak on about the ones I've used, but for me, the Insta 360 Pro is very, very good, and it's easy to use.
Has anyone had experience with the Nikon Key Mission?
No. That's one of the more consumer cameras, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. Came out maybe 2 years ago for about $500 US.
Okay. If it's a couple of years old, I'd probably sort of go with getting something a bit more recent. Like the Insta 360 1X or the GoPro Fusion, only because they get upgraded so quickly now. It's tough to keep up. Or the Insta 360 Evo, where you can shoot both 360 and 180.
Mm-hmm.
And the 180 is in 3D and it looks really good. Yeah, the camera design itself isn't that great, but yeah, the camera, what it does is pretty good. Mark, you have a question? Have I?
Yes, one more. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
What headsets can this be viewed on right at this moment?
So I know one of the main designs is the Oculus Go. You can view it on the Rift as well, I believe.
Frogs Portal Space. Okay. Yeah, I think it's all on the Veer page, I believe. It explains all the headsets that you can use. Veer.tv page explains.
Thank you.
It's also, I think that, I don't know about the premium content, but Veer is also available just on your phone, normal 360 mode too. So if you don't have a headset, I'm pretty sure you can watch this just normal too, just moving your phone
around. I don't think it's available on the mobile app. I think you can view 360 photos and stuff on that.
This movie was really designed to be looked at in a headset so that you feel like you are the person. Yeah.
Don't be that guy. I was watching all the latest films on a phone. Okay, any other questions?
I'm looking around the whole room.
Yeah. Oh, there,
Aaron,
in the back. Yeah.
I can't tell if your arm's up or not, or your hand's up.
In the back, the guy who's like, looks like a zombie black guy.
Control. Frog. Frog, you're up. It's your moment to shine.
Is it
available right now on Veer?
It is.
Okay.
But only to watch after this is finished.
Let us know what you think. Is there a way that they can let us know what they think of it? I don't know if there's a feedback channel or place. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question. Can you hear me?
Over here. No. She's giving love.
You can leave feedback on the Facebook page, I think. And there's like Veer Facebook groups and stuff and communities. Which have a lot of people involved in.
We'd love to hear from any of you about what you think, because no one's seen it yet. This is the very first time it's been released after 3 years of work.
So yeah, privilege. Lisa Marie, you have another question.
Yes. No, I'm very excited about seeing this show. But can I ask you, have you ever worked with people like Anthony Hopkins, stuff like that?
I've worked with some really interesting people. I worked with Sir John Gielgud and Helena Bonham Carter and Melvin Douglas, old timers like that. Yeah, a lot of great folks. Yeah. Veronica Cartwright is in this movie, and she's fantastic, you know?
Oh, I love her. Yeah, no, and did you get to know her?
I sure did. She was here yesterday at the party we had, or 2 days ago. And
really?
Yeah, I worked with her in Flight of the Navigator and on this movie. And she's just wonderful. She's a great actress.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice. Very nice. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Awesome. Anyone else?
Oh, here's one right in the front here.
Oh, Ghost. Ghost. Go for it.
Go for it. Yeah. Does it all have to be related to this, or can we just ask anything?
No, go for it.
I just wondered if you had any good stories from working with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John in Grease. Just anything that was stuck out.
Ooh.
Or
anything,
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, you're in luck, because October 22nd, I'm releasing a book called Grease Director's Notebook, and I have all kinds of stories in it. And it has all my drawings and my sketches and the script and notes. So that's the best news I can tell you about that, about John and Olivia. So, it's coming out with HarperCollins, October 22nd.
No way! Awesome.
Note that in the calendar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anyone else?
Yes.
I don't know. Jason, is your hand up?
No, it's not. Sorry.
Okay.
I would like to know by a show of hands how many people here are filmmakers.
Ooh,
one,
question.
Two, three, four.
That's up there.
Four.
Writers?
Okay.
Five. Say writers?
Writers or filmmakers? Say, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great, so five people here. Good.
360 right. Animation.
Oh, that's personal. That's filmmaking for sure.
Yeah.
So
nice.
I think you filmmakers will really enjoy seeing the show, because you'll see the challenges that we all had to face. And we shot this in 9 days, but it took 3 years to put it together because of all the technical issues we had.
So what kind of technical issues were you like?
Well, stitching was the biggest one. And and also we had sometimes the characters would be attached to the background, and we'd have to go in and cut by hand around each frame, separate them from the background so that they wouldn't warp with the background. That took months and months.
Wow, that's crazy. Stitching is the worst.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of like the ones that sort of do it in camera. It just makes life so much easier.
Right.
How about audio? How did you record the audio?
The audio was done with spatial audio, where you can hear exactly where the people are. Like, this is spatial audio in this room right now. Like, I can hear when I turn around, I can hear you. When I look at you and I turn my head like this, I still hear you coming from there. And that's the way we did the show. And it was all done in post, where we had the sound guys figure out where you should be looking, or where the sound should be coming for each actor.
Oh, wow. So how did you, like, as you were shooting it, how did you record the sound then? Did you, like, have everyone mic'd up, or?
Yes, we had lavalier radio mics, and then we, in post, figured out where they should be in space.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. Any other questions, folks?
Over
Panomo,
there.
I can't tell if you got your hand up or if you're just touching this dude on the head. No. Which one do you say no to? You got, you having your hand up or touching him on the head? Own up, Panomo. The whole room is looking at you.
No question.
I have a question.
Over to the left. Here.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Can you talk about the green screen process, why you used it, and what techniques you used to create the backgrounds for the green screen?
Well, the green screen was, we got the Los Angeles Film School allowed us to go and use their green screen, but it was only half the room, and we had to bring in all kinds of green curtains to put around to make it 360. And then the background was a spaceship that we found on, we downloaded from a, what's it called, Manny? TurboSquid. TurboSquid is a website where you can download sets and props and put them in this CGI space. And so we found this terrific spaceship on TurboSquid, and we bought it, and then we lit it and did the textures. And then we used that as the background, and that we had the actors on the 360 green screen. And that's the last episode. Episode 12, you'll see this virtual set that was from TurboSquid.
I've never heard of a 360 green screen, so that must have been really difficult.
Yeah, well, we just hung curtains around the outside of the cove that was normally there, you know, so we were completely covered. Because the actors were running into it, and we had to have it fit the set.
Cool. Okay. All right. And then I think we can start wrapping it up. Okay. Thank you. Thank you again for coming around. I want to say this.
My pleasure. It's my first time.
Had a lot of the time out.
So fun to see all you guys all over the world. Thank you for coming. I'll do this again for
sure. It's so weird to see an audience applause but not be able to hear it.
Yes, I know.
It's not a shame.
It's great to see you all coming up.
But okay. thank you to everyone for coming out tonight.
Thank you, Randall.
Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening.
Thank you.
And yeah, feel free to subscribe to the channels and follow Veer at Let's Veer on all the social medias.
And give us some feedback. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
thank
go check
you.
It out. Go check it out now.
Yes,
don't go out. Don't go out tonight if you've got plans. You know, cancel them. Ring your friends up. Say, look, I can't come to the bar tonight. I've got something's come up. And there you go. Just binge watch Defrost. Honestly, you won't regret it. It'll be the best Saturday night you've ever had.
So there it is. I hope you enjoyed that little chat with Randall. I do really enjoy doing these events, and it's really cool to meet creators and, you know, to pick their brains and stuff. If you follow Veer VR on social media, you can keep up to date with any upcoming events, and, you know, maybe you can come to one yourself and then, you know, ask whatever guests we have that week your own questions. And we also usually do a live stream either on their Facebook page or their YouTube channel. So yeah, you can just check it out there if you can't make it into AltSpace itself, which is cool. Also, it'd be great to get some feedback from you guys as to whether you enjoyed this episode. As you know, if so, obviously we'll try and arrange more and put them out in future episodes, as well as the usual ones with myself and Alex. So yeah, if you can reach out to me on either Instagram or Twitter at Daniel K Hatton, Daniel K Hatton. And yeah, after hearing this, if you're interested in checking out Defrost, which I would definitely recommend, it's a, you know, a good fun series, and it's got a ton of classic actors. You know, the most notable for myself was Carl Weathers. The man's a legend. It's currently on sale with, you know, a number of other cool films and content and stuff exclusively on Veer. So yeah, go check that out. So anyway, until next time, take care.